So today we're going to talk about anal for amateurs.
That is not the topic of the show.
I'm pretty sure it is.
No.
Brina, read the show notes.
There are no show notes.
Oh, that's also a lie. We have got extensive show notes. We're scripted.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. The whole concept of that.
What is that? Two minutes in and I've got kicked over Greta's big giggle box. I think that's a new record.
Show notes. Oh my God. There was a point in time when I tried to do show notes and I tried to organize everybody and I tried to do topics, but I've given up.
We do topics.
Oh, come on.
We've got more than a whole show to talk about.
Yes, of course we do, but because we can talk about shit, but as far as being organized, as far as topics go, no.
My dear, have you looked at our Facebook page?
I have. I am familiar with our Facebook page.
I'm well aware. That is like the best way to look, because it's one of those oh, Brita's posting about stuff. Oh. I bet she will have some legs to talk about this.
Yeah, maybe.
Like possibly that there is a fat hemorrhoid of a man who likes to rape a whole lot. And I think Brita might want to talk about that.
You know, I didn't want to talk about Bill Clinton tonight either.
No! Oh, wow!
You know, to be fair, I was about to argue with that because, you know, back in my days as a wee little liberal, I actually shook his hand. And
I went to his women's rallies.
Yeah, he's actually a fairly handsome guy, but I just realized what he looks like now.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness, he is racing to Ted Kennedy.
Oh yeah. I was just going to say that.
Cause at least Ted Kennedy was kind of the fugly Kennedy brother.
Well,
not saying a lot. Really.
Ted Kennedy also had a lifetime of alcohol abuse to blame.
Yeah. And murder.
Yeah.
That's true. Bill Clinton doesn't abuse alcohol. He just abuses rape.
And
so what? So in case you've been hiding under a rock for the last few days.
Yeah.
It has been revealed that producers and Hollywood moguls are heinous people that, you know, do awful things. And the casting couch is real you know, it's like that scene in Casablanca. I'm shocked that there's gambling going on, you know, seriously, this is like the least hidden thing that could possibly happen. But suddenly, you know, what used to be like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge and an open secret that everybody knew about.
Yes. For decades.
And suddenly it's, you know, for some reason that we still don't know, everyone decided, okay, it's all right to bag on.
It's not even that. Cause actually the some of the newest stories on Harvey Weinstein is that it doesn't say who the person at the top is, but somebody somewhere has been calling the various news agencies and somehow convincing them not to run these stories.
Yeah. His name is Matt Damon.
Yeah. Well, Matt Damon is one of them. But I know that I saw an interview where, it was Rachel Maddow was interviewing Ronan Farrow, who was talking about his expose on Weinstein, which I think he did for the New Yorker. Or was it the Times?
New Yorker.
I forget. Yeah, the New Yorker. And she said, well, you work for MSNBC. Why didn't you do a story on MSNBC?
He tried to.
And he tossed the biggest, most diplomatic, bullshit response that essentially just said, no, I was writing the report and somebody told me, if you like this paycheck, you don't write this report. Or maybe even wrote the report and, oop, my cat ate it.
Well, that's so that has somebody, been the, yeah, somebody that has been somewhere. The ongoing story though throughout where Harvey Weinstein would use his legal team to bully people and to scare people and to threaten them into not exposing him.
And to craft settlements.
And to craft settlements, yes. But also, I mean, and even after settlements and even after, you know, he had been rejected by certain actresses or whatever, his MO was to destroy people afterwards, legally or by destroying their careers, you know, their film careers or whatever. There have been a number of.
Which I got to call bullshit on. It's kind of like the, well, to some extent. I mean, so like the two ones that really got me is Gwyneth Paltrow and Angelina Jolie have stepped forward.
Okay.
And they were both, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow, it was when she was auditioning for Emma. Both of them has spared the details and just said that there was unwanted sexual contact with Harvey Weinstein. Right. No word because he's got a litany of MO. Sometimes it's straight up rape. Sometimes it's groping. Sometimes it's just I would like you to sit there and be disgusted while I jerk off, which is absolutely charming.
Yes. That's always what I look for in a first date.
Oh God. Oh, I mean, come on, man. This guy is A, he's pig ugly. B, fucking grow a beard or shave. What is the story with this? Like, or I mean, if you want to be a little bit of like a cheese ball, you know, do like the Stephen Baldwin thing and like take a beard trimmer and take the guard off of it and run it over your face. So you get that like day's growth look. Sort of thing. Don't get that. Ooh, we got to throw out this melon. It's gone bad. Look,
it's the Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I think that's the best he can do.
Well, and Philip Seymour Hoffman, we know is because he was jacked up on H.
He was on horse. So
he was so smacked out of his mind that he couldn't find his razor.
They probably took the blades out of the razor, you know, because they didn't want him to cut his own throat.
But yeah, so. I mean, so Gwyneth Paltrow, when she was auditioning for Emma, she got some unwanted sexual contact. Angelina Jolie also while she was for Playing by Heart, which, by the way, if you haven't seen, that is like a complete sleeper. Like, I don't know. I had never even heard of that movie it'd been out for like 8 or 9 years before I saw it. Wow. Really good film. Ugh, another thing. I love Roman Polanski's work. Jesus Christ. What is up with me and loving the work of rapists?
Well. you know, about Gwyneth Paltrow. You know, she just came out this week saying that, yes, she had experiences with Harvey Weinstein. But I just noticed an article today on thedailymail.com. And it was... they had video from a Letterman interview, you know, David Letterman, who also had his own kind of sexual harassment problems. But Gwyneth Paltrow did an interview on his late night show in 1998. So that's almost 20 years.
Yeah.
1998. And, so she kind of suggested that she had been coerced to be on David Letterman's show, joking that it was like Thanksgiving and she wanted to be with her family on Thanksgiving, but she had kind of been coerced to be on David Letterman's show. And David asked her if someone had coerced her to be there, and she laughed and asked the host, "Do you count Harvey Weinstein as a coercer?" And she added, "I do all my movies for Harvey Weinstein. That's Miramax for all of you. And I'm lucky to do them there, but he will coerce you to do a thing or two." And then Letterman asked, he said, "So Harvey said, go on and talk about your movie. Is that what Harvey said?" And then Gwyneth said, yeah. And then Letterman asked, and in return, what will Harvey do for you? The host wanted to know what Gwyneth would get for bowing to Harvey's demands to go out and promote Thanksgiving, and the actress insisted nothing. And then David Letterman said, well, what's wrong with that equation? As the kids say, you do the math. I'm kind of fed up with Harvey's behavior. This is 1998. So, yeah.
But I mean,
almost 20 years.
And I gotta say, like, the idea of, it's kind of like the Church of Scientology. There's all this talk of the, what keeps certain actors in and all that, you know, they get the inside dirt on you. And there's some talk of, you know, like John Travolta Tom Cruise being gay. And that's, you know, they're hoarding that over. But the bottom line is if people haven't come to terms with the fact that John Travolta and Tom Cruise aren't gay, number one, they aren't paying attention. And number two, why would anyone care? Why would anybody care? But who knows? Who knows what else, you know, is there, if there's some other stuff. But the big statement is, like, if Harvey, I was about to say, with, you know, why, you know, if Gwyneth Paltrow was afraid of Harvey Weinstein, you know, putting his foot behind, you know, on top of her and trying to destroy her. I mean, the moment she won the Oscar for Shakespeare in Love, there, you know, there she is. Like, I would, in my acceptance speech, would be, thank you very much, and fuck you, Harvey Weinstein. You raped me X number of years ago. But that's not even getting into it, is that Gwyneth Paltrow, I mean, she's the daughter of Blythe Danner and Bruce Paltrow. Like, she's, right. And like, I think Steven Spielberg's her godfather.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's super duper showbiz royalty.
Okay.
Like, she's,
and you think she's supposed to be exempt?
Well, I just think that's unless there's something under the waters, which is exactly what I'm implying.
I'm starting to think there is.
Yeah. Is that it's one of those, like, Harvey Weinstein alone wouldn't be able to destroy Gwyneth Paltrow, because Gwyneth Paltrow, especially given the fact that if he was, like, raping her, touching her, or demanding sexual favors from her to get roles,
right,
all she needs to do is tell Daddy and Uncle Stevie, and that's that. And the same thing with Angelina Jolie.
Her right.
Dad's John Voight. Both, I mean, holy crap, you know, Brad Pitt's cock's got to smell like Harvey Weinstein with the dating Gwyneth Paltrow at the time and then marrying Angelina Jolie.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't said shit, and he's the biggest star in Hollywood.
Actually,
he confronted him in the 90s, and which at that point in time, he was still small potatoes, but why, you know, once we're talking Ocean's 11,
right.
You know, once it's one of those things of the, you know, he's the biggest name, and, you know, he's fucking Frank Sinatra. He's taking Frank Sinatra's role. Well, what's his face? That was the other one. But either way,
Dean Martin.
Was he Dean Martin's character in Ocean's 11? Either way, he's a huge fucking swinging dick in Hollywood at that point in time. There's no one that's going to bring down. He could self-producing films, yeah, and people are going to see it.
You know what, though? Weird. I think Harvey Weinstein probably thought that nobody could bring him down, too.
Right.
That's, yeah. So. When you check to, you know, the DNC bounces, that's when they, you know, the long knives come out.
You think that's what it was?
That's my guess.
Because that has been my question all week.
Because he's been a huge donor.
Everybody has known this secret for, I mean, it's been an open secret in Hollywood. I mean, if you just go, I mean, for decades, people have been making jokes about it and about how he's just, like, been with all the starlets, and you have to like be on the casting couch with Harvey Weinstein. It's a joke in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, well, why all of a sudden now? I'm thinking, okay, are the feminists like emboldened and they're having their, you know, girl power moment? Is that what's happening in Hollywood? Like that? But from what I can tell is that the New York Times published an article about Harvey Weinstein paying off sexual, you know, he's been paying off people who have been accusing him of sexual improprieties forever, right? So the New York Times publishes this thing. And this is the timeline that I can figure. So the New York Times publishes this thing. And then shortly thereafter, Ronan Farrow publishes a thing on The New Yorker in the New Yorker magazine. He shopped his article to NBC, but NBC turned him down. Apparently there was a 2015 sting on Harvey Weinstein. They put a wire on some girl he had groped, and they got a whole, like,
yep.
They got audio on Harvey Weinstein admitting that he groped this girl, and he was like used to doing this sort of thing, and he was inviting her into his room, and you know, this whole thing. So they have audio of him. And so Ronan Farrow had the audio and he did this article and he shopped it to NBC and they said, oh no, you don't have enough. We can't publish that. You don't have enough. But the New Yorker published it. Yeah, I want to interject here that Ronan Farrow, do you know who he is?
Yeah.
Isn't that your cat?
No. He is the son of Mia Farrow and Woody Allen.
Yeah, and if anybody knows,
except he's not.
Except if you look at pictures of Ronan Farrow, he's very clearly Frank Sinatra's son.
I mean, that's one of those ongoing debates. I think.
Oh no!
Have you seen him?
Have you seen him?
I have.
It's not really a debate. No.
There's no possible way that DNA came from.
And even Mia Farrow has come out and said, "Yeah, I slept with Frank Sinatra after I married Woody Allen." She has come out and publicly said that. So it's kind of like, well, you know, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. Okay, but probably he is.
I just looked him up and he is so
old
much
blue eyes.
Frank Sinatra.
Well, those yeah. are like, contacts. He has brown
like
eyes.
Like Arnold Schwarzenegger's illegitimate son with the maid. If you've seen pictures mm-hmm. of Schwarzenegger's bastard son,
yep.
It's like, oh yeah. That's Arnold Schwarzenegger's kid.
But
anyway,
the neat thing about Ronan Farrow though is, I mean, there was a lot of talk on who his father is.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that he has been very, very clear of stating that Woody Allen is my father and my father is a piece of shit because he's yes. fucking my sister.
Yeah, he does wear blue contacts.
Mm-hmm.
Except his eyes are kind of greenish hazel in real life. Yeah. Anyway, regardless.
But either way, I mean, his biological father is irrelevant. He mm-hmm. that is one thing is he is definitely one of the few like Hollywood quote unquote royalty out there that does not appear to be at all interested in it because yeah, once your daddy is fucking your sister,
you're kind of all bets are off.
You're not cool with that anymore. Though I will say. Say what you will about all of that. I think the most likely scenario I've heard is that there is now only one gentleman at the head of the Weinstein Corporation.
And who is that?
That would be Bob Weinstein. Harvey's brother. And I kind of wonder.
And he's going to pretend that he didn't know
that he's not the one that called all the groups and said, you know what, we're going weapons hot. If you publish whatever you want about my brother, I'm not gonna say peep to our lawyers, and he's not gonna say peep to our lawyers because it's not gonna be his lawyers, it's gonna be my lawyers.
Mm. That could be.
And so, and the stories got published, and the board of directors told him to fuck off, and he has fucked off and gone to rehab, which
in Europe.
Yeah.
He's in Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona. And
for now.
Yeah, you gotta wonder if it's one of these like if it's like the drug rehab places where the person comes out just as high as when they went in.
Of course.
And of course his wife has separated with him, like as if she didn't fucking know, like it is now the, oh, my brand might get damaged, so here I go. I mean, any of these wives of these like serial rapists, you know, be it Hillary Clinton or Bill Cosby's wife or, you know, Harvey Weinstein's wife, or any of these people, they all know. Mia Farrow. They all know it was going on. And so there's some level of complicity.
Sure.
To it.
And I think that's the whole point of this, this Hollywood Harvey Weinstein story is that, well, everyone knew.
Do you know what's really got, that got me on this though? Thinking about the fact, yeah, everyone knew and everyone was looking the other way and all of that is something popped into my head. I was actually watching a Steven Crowder video where he was talking about, you know, the insane liberalism on campus. And he was ridiculing the term that gets thrown around so much, which is rape culture. And Steven Crowder points out that no, there's really only two things that aren't, as far as college campuses go, there are two kinds of rapes. There are the rapes that are done by pieces of shit taking advantage of women, and they get their lives completely fucking destroyed because nobody has any fucking interest in goddamn rapists. Mm-hmm. Or there are, there is the rape in you know, scare quotes, quite literally scare quotes, where a woman sleeps with a guy that might be a little bit of a dickhead. And when she finds out that everyone's, when he's telling all his friends what color her asshole is, she then all of a sudden goes, well, that wasn't consensual sex.
Can I speak to this?
Yes.
Just, okay. Here's the thing. People have this image of rape where, you know, rape is forceful and rape is the scary guy in the alley who catches you in the dark because you're walking home alone. People have that image. And then there's also the date rape, right? Where the guy like kind of like has you in the backseat of his car and he's, you know, forcing himself on you and suddenly you can't fight back and you're both a little bit tipsy and you know, oh no. And he's on top of you and it's, you know, it's all over, right? People have those images of rape. And if things are more complicated than that when it comes to... I don't want to call it rape. This is where the rape issue comes in for me. Yep. Is because... And I listened to this video of Harvey Weinstein, right?
What a piece of shit.
Yes.
What a piece of shit. And I have known those pieces of shit personally. And I am willing to wager that a good percentage of women also have experiences with that exact type of piece of shit. And let me tell you, they always say that if a woman says no, no means no, and you're supposed to stop, right? And you're not supposed to go forward with any action. Am I correct?
Right.
Yes.
Right. No means no, so means you stop. Okay. And yes, you're supposed to stop if a no means no. However, there seems to be this type of asshole, this type of piece of shit that thinks he can bargain and plead and wheedle and beg and until you say yes. And combine that with a circumstance where a woman feels like she is trapped physically. Like, she has made the mistake of going up to his hotel room. She has made the mistake of getting into his car. She has made the mistake of being alone in a room with him. And suddenly, there's a situation where she feels like she has no way out other than to give in. And this is where it gets sticky for me because, yes, the woman, granted, should have been wiser to maybe not go to his room or not get in his car, not accept a ride or whatever. However, that does not take away the man's responsibility, right?
Yeah, the consent was given, though the argument could be made that consent was given under duress.
Yes, exactly.
The same thing can be said about, you know, Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky.
Exactly.
That is a super duper messy thing because
right.
Monica's never said a bad thing about Bill Clinton and their time together.
No.
And I would like to say that Monica was super duper hot to trot for Bill Clinton. But at the same time, she was a White House intern. He mm-hmm. is the president of the United States.
A married There's man, always president there. Of the United States. Yes.
I mean, we don't even need the marriage in there. Cause it could be the, you know, your, you know, the boss of your company, whatever you have, you know, someone that mm-hmm. has a huge amount of power over you, and specifically right. being the president of the United States, where, you know, this guy's the guy that controls the CIA and the FBI, and there's all sorts of shit that this guy could bring down on somebody. There's all sorts sure. of great stories. Doing JFK, there's a whole lot of great stories about JFK on what he may or may not have done to women that were inconveniencing to him. So the idea being that, oh, this person could destroy me with a minimal amount of effort, automatically, no matter how much consent is given, always mm-hmm. puts a taint on that consent.
No,
sure.
Well, not only does it put a taint on it, but it's flat out sexual harassment.
Yes.
Anytime, and that's one thing a lot of people don't understand about this stuff is anytime you have a power discrepancy, and it can, you know, there's women that do it to guy. I mean, look at all these teachers that are banging their 14, 15 year old students. That's sexual assault because of the power, the difference in power.
If it's a 14 year old boy, consent was given.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Consent was given.
What's about it? And the 14 year old in me goes, oh, Jesus Christ, I had some hot teachers in my school. Oh, if only. But at the same time, what the fuck would that have done to me?
Yeah.
You know, what feels good and what is good. Trust me, I'm a former smoker.
Yeah. But that's the problem with this Weinstein thing is when you have somebody like that that has so much power.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are literally women who are faced with that situation and willingly go with it. You know, yes. they're, you know,
we talked about this earlier today, Alan, where, that's you know, there are women that might have been approached by Harvey Weinstein with this same scenario and said, you know what? Yeah, I want to become a star, and fine, I'll do whatever. And that's their choice. But that does not negate the fact that Harvey Weinstein also bullied and raped and forced people into situations. There are women that will do it. You know, not every woman is this, you know, meek little, oh no, you know, little victim. Oh, not yeah. every woman is like that. There are some women who will go for it knowingly.
I mean, we talked a few weeks ago with the passing of Hugh Hefner. I have never heard any sort of allegations of quote unquote, you know, misconduct that he had with any of his girlfriends. But at the same time, he was in his 80s and 90s, and while he was a strikingly handsome man when he was in his 20s and 30s and even 50s, he was as broke ass as any of us are going to look when we're in our 80s and 90s. We're all going to look like absolute monkey shit when we get to be that age. And there were these girls in their fucking 20s. I mean, there are no older women in Playboy unless you're in that like little celebrity section. But certainly if you were Hef's arm candy, you certainly didn't have a 3 in front of your name or anything larger than that. You were in your 20s, and here you were with a guy in his 70s or 80s or 90s. Never heard anything untowards on it, but let me tell you, they probably weren't in it for his charming personality.
Well, they might have been.
No.
I'm sure he was a nice guy.
No, he wasn't.
No, he absolutely wasn't, because he had Han Solo encased in Corbomite.
That wasn't. Oh.
No, that was Harvey Weinstein. I was talking about Hef. Harvey Weinstein has no charming personality, and even in his 20s, he looked like a turd.
You know, yeah, I had another thought about this. You know, you were talking about wondering where the okay came
actually,
from
can
to
I,
go
can
after.
I got to interrupt you real quick just to finish my point, though. Was I because we got sidetracked, but I just realized that you hear people on the left use the term rape culture, and you're just like, what rape culture? Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's getting skeeved out. Everyone in this panel is getting skeeved out. And there's nobody who's like, oh yeah. You know, I've never once been sitting around in with a bunch of people maybe some crass jokes are coming out. And like one of those, like, oh yeah, no, like there was this girl and she was not into it at all, but I talked her down to it. Or, you know, I broke her will or I got her. She was too drunk to say no. Or no one will ever say that. Cause if one,
well, nobody says that out loud.
Well, also weird.
Except if you are Harvey Weinstein.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
And what I'm realizing is the left's quote unquote rape culture appears to be the leftist Hollywood thing. Because everyone knew it. It's not like it was a dirty little secret that Harvey Weinstein was inviting women up to hotel rooms and doing horrible things to them, or Bill Cosby was drugging women and doing horrible things with them. Like when they got together, they talked about the women they raped. And they all laughed and had a good time. And it wasn't just the dudes hanging around. There are women there too, and they were complicit in it.
So
like there is a culture there.
Right. And but the culture is themselves, and they assume, well, it's just like the, I don't know anybody that voted for Nixon. They don't know anybody that's not in that rape culture cesspool. So they just assume everybody's like that. Huh?
That one of the things that appalled me the most was, the whole thing is appalling and disgusting. But of all the accounts, a lot of the accounts I read were like, Harvey Weinstein set up interviews or meetings with these young actresses. But to lure them in, he also had a female like assistant there, or a female, you know, somebody else from the company at the meeting with him, and for the first part of the meeting, and then he would dismiss the female assistant or whatever, and then be left alone with the starlet, right? So, mm-hmm. You know, going into the meeting, the little, you know, naive starlet thought, oh, cool, you know, there's another woman here, you know, she's got my back, we're good.
Nope.
Except no. These women, and you cannot tell me these women did not know what was happening.
Of course they did.
Of course they did.
Oh, I mean,
come on.
Like you were implying, I guarantee that there was plenty of pussy that he didn't even have to coerce. Is that people got an interview with Harvey Weinstein, and they were like, oh yeah, I've heard the stories of Harvey Weinstein. I'm going to fuck his brains out and I am going to make bank. It is going to be the biggest money-making decision I've ever made.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it seems like from what we've heard, and this may change obviously, but I get the impression that the women who felt like they could say no were mm-hmm. the ones like Gwyneth Paltrow and Angelina Jolie that had a little bit of Hollywood royalty behind them and probably knew how things worked and knew that they were positioned such that they could afford to tell him no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your parents are Hollywood royalty, you don't need Harvey Weinstein to get you, you know, stuff.
Yep.
He's not your gateway.
And you could think that And you could think that if you were going to be the, what the fuck are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, cause certainly, you know, if there's, you know, I mean, you know, we do it all in other cultures. I mean, I've talked so much shit about Robert Farrago for being a piece of shit, and I'll just for the fun of it, I'll say that he's a piece of shit on this podcast. And
you can say it on every podcast. That's
I can say it on every podcast. And you would think that if I was, you know, I mean, it was one of those, like, you know, I had shit stolen by Robert Farrago, and I found out that my friends were having shit stolen by Robert Farrago, and other people that I respected and loved were having shit stolen by Robert Farrago. And so he went from being a guy who's a dick to a piece of shit that I feel compelled to mention when somebody else links to his piece of shit blog. You really shouldn't link to that guy, because he is an absolute piece of shit. And the same thing goes with the, let's just say that Gwyneth Paltrow, let's be super innocent. And Gwyneth Paltrow was interviewing for Emma and, or auditioning or whatever the fuck, who knows what the hell you call this casting couch nonsense. And Harvey Weinstein was like, hey, how about you watch me take a shower? And she was like, my dad's a big swinging Hollywood dick. My mom's a famous actress, and Steven Spielberg gives me a Hanukkah present. Maybe, you know, maybe you can go fuck off. And then she finds out, you know, can you believe this guy? Well, yeah, he raped me. Or, oh God. Yeah, no, he's touching everything but the third rail. My instinct would be, well, Jesus Christ, since I'm Gwyneth Paltrow, or I'm Angelina Jolie, or I'm Brad Pitt, you know, even I'm Brad Pitt a few years after I found out all about all of this, you know, Brad Pitt in Cool World's different than, you know, Brad Pitt in Fight Club. You know, hey, now that I am a huge name, I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go make a big stand and go, hey, all of my friends, you know, guys, we got to say something about this guy. This guy is raping people. This guy is fucking over people's lives. This guy is horrible. We got to do something about this. And the fact that that didn't happen, really, there's no way that that didn't happen. You know, the fact that there is no story surfacing of somebody kicking the ever loving fuck out of Harvey Weinstein for raping their girlfriend or wife.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because it's California.
That's true.
I mean, he tried that shit in some place like Texas, he'd get a bullet between the eyes.
That's true. But hey, Brad Pitt's got a lot of guns, and
yeah, he was. But Brad Pitt's Brad fucking Pitt.
It's true. That is true.
The expose on him's coming out soon too.
I want to let everybody know what Alan's first reaction was about the Harvey Weinstein story. And I thought this was just charming, because we were talking about it, you know, because we figured it was going to be a part of the show. And one of Alan's first reactions was, I wish dueling was still legal.
I do.
There would be a line.
You know, oh, that's not even fair.
I mean, a piece of shit like that. I mean, some people just need to be dead. And he's one of them. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. If you go through life and you piss off enough people like that and do, you know, heinous things like that.
Well, that's why I'm so pro death penalty, because that's what prisons are for. Prisons are ever so often, doing a nickel in the joint will scare someone straight of the, holy shit, I made some mistakes and being in prison sucks. I want to be a free man. So, hey, guess what? I'm going to quit doing drugs. I'm going to quit stealing shit. I'm going to quit fucking with people. I'm going to get a square job and move out of my gang infested shithole neighborhood and clean up my life. That does happen.
I think it's an exception.
It happens. It happens. Yeah, exactly. It happens almost never too, is most of the time is one of those like, oh, sweet. It's fucking prison. I get my food made for me and I got TV and, you know, four hots and a cot, three hots and a cot. That's right. Awesome.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Plus, I'm a badass.
A lot of people don't understand that a lot of those people in prison are living better than they did before they were in prison.
Oh yeah, I mean, I remember seeing an episode of Cops where they were like, "Oh yeah, no, you know, I arrested him 3 months ago and he was fat and happy out of prison. Now he's skinny. He's just starting shit so that he can get back in.
Oh,
he's
boy.
Gonna get back in, get fattened up. Like specifically, I think specifically this was like." It was like in Chicago or Minneapolis or someplace like that. It was one of the northern cities, and there was one of those like, oh no, he's going to behave himself. He's going to behave himself for the summertime, and then once the leaves start changing colors, he's going to start being a complete cock because he's going to get himself, you know, a couple of months in the joint, and he's going to get out of the cold. And yeah, but what I'm saying is that. Prison is there to, it's not there to rehabilitate for whatever reason. Some motherfucker decided to say that, oh, you know, prison's where we turn bad people into good people.
Nope.
No. Ever so often that happens, you know, which means, you know, we don't just kill everybody who gets a conviction. But at the same time, no, most of the people that are in prison are fucking monsters. They can't behave themselves. They aren't going to behave themselves. And once you weed that out, once you make sure that you know for sure, no backsies, no, you don't play by society's rules. You don't feel like playing by the rules. Why do we keep them around? Get rid of them. Because that's the whole point of prison. Prison is, hey, guess what? You rape, you murder, you steal, you deal drugs. We don't want you around. Go sit in the steel box.
You know what would be a great idea? Anybody.
What's that?
Thunderdome.
Running Man.
Yeah.
Yes.
There we go.
Hey, it's just it is
just to watch Harvey Weinstein try to run.
You know,
oh my God.
You know, no. you say that as a joke now, but you know. You know, a crashed economy. We're one good crashed economy away from that. You know,
my heart goes pitter pat. I would pay per view that.
You and everybody else.
Oh my God.
Everybody would. The only reason why it hasn't been done is it's illegal.
Yeah, but that can change.
Shot international waters.
That can change.
Monkey Jay, knife.
You're
fights,
a genius.
Monkey you're knife genius. Fights and Harvey Weinstein doing.
Oh Jesus, man. Dude, we gotta pool our money. Let's buy Honduras. It's doing really bad right now. That land is cheap. I bet we can buy an entire country. I mean, it's a nice part of the world. I mean, it's sure. got a really good climate. It's comfortable. They've got good beaches. There's a lot of tropical fruits.
Just and
we Ooh. Can build ourselves a gigantic compound.
You could run it as an all-inclusive resort.
Yes, oh where we could God. Have both Thunderdome and Running Man.
Oh
yeah.
my God.
There you go. So we could have
both kinds, country and western.
Country and western.
Have we beaten the Weinstein to death?
Did you just say so? Weinstein in the same sentence?
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, someone's beaten the Weinstein to death, and its name is Harvey Weinstein. Into a potted plant, evidently.
I kind of wanted to change the topic a little bit.
You've got 13 minutes, sir.
Well, and I know Jay has some feelings on this.
I have some feelings on this.
And as an Eagle Scout, I have some feelings on this.
Okay.
But the Boy Scouts of America, the national organization, has decided that they will allow girls to be Boy Scouts now.
So first off, since Jay, were you just a den father or whatever the hell you call it?
I was Scout Master.
Cub Master, yeah.
Yeah, I was in charge of the whole pack.
So what is the relationship between Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts? Are
there
they two
there's no, it's a separate.
Exactly.
Okay, so they're
completely separate.
They're not Yep.
The training doesn't even carry over.
No.
Yep.
Like I can't go camping as a trained adult with the Girl Scouts, even though I've been through the same program. For the Boy Scouts.
Because it's not the same program.
Right.
Gotcha. So. All right, I've got some feelings on it, but I think I think Jay and Alan have got a lot more to say.
Well, I
now we're doing the Alphonse Gaston.
Yeah,
after you.
I'll start first, and you know you have to. There's several things that led into this. The Boy Scouts for several decades have been under a lot of pressure from leftists and, you know, because it's a bastion of maleness. It is the Boy Scouts. They didn't let women in. Women didn't get to be Boy Scouts for, you know, and honestly, it's not because girls couldn't do it, because I guarantee you there are 12-year-old girls that are bigger and tougher and stronger than a lot of 12-year-old boys. That's not the issue. It's not a question of capability. It's a question of boys and girls are different. I'm sorry. You know, the left can spin it as much as they want, but they're different. Now the Boy Scouts have operated two other programs that do let girls participate. One is the Venture program and one's the Explorer program. But those,
I was an Explorer.
Those are not Boy Scouts. If you are in a Venture program or an Explorer program, you can be, if you're a boy, you could be a member of, you know, a scout troop and be in an Explorer or Venture program and still work on your rank and all that kind of stuff. But, if you just like out of the blue stepped in and said, and joined an Explorer program, you can't earn the merit badges and ranks in those programs. That's not possible. And they also did it, basically it's teenagers, right? I don't remember how old you have to be in those programs, but I think it's like 15 or 16 or something like that. It's not.
I'm pretty sure it's 14 to get into Ventures.
Okay.
And Venture actually goes through college.
Right.
That's the one big difference between Ventures and Boy Scouts. Boy Scouts, you're done at 18.
Right.
Like you either reach your Eagle Scout or you're whatever at. Rank you're at. And well, even if you do reach Eagle, it's 18, you're done. You're a man.
Right.
You're an adult. Whatever you identify as, you know, you identify as an attack helicopter. If you're 18 years old, you're out.
Right.
I want to identify as an attack helicopter.
So, but the, you know, and I, you know, I really, it's a tough thing because frankly, a lot of women and a lot of girls don't like the Girl Scouts because they think it sucks. It's not fun. It's been completely hijacked by the social justice people for decades. They don't have any fun. They're basically, I mean, there are a few exceptions here and there, but they're basically, cookie salespersons.
And the cookies are bullshit. Don't fucking buy the cookies.
They're not good, but
the big thing about it is my sister-in-law's was a, den mother or whatever the fuck, but she was, when my niece was in the Girl Scouts, who she's not anymore, which is great. Is point out the fact that, I mean, you're slogging to get cookies and they make nothing. The companies that make the cookies make a huge amount of money and they get like a nickel a box of cookies.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. They get it's nothing. Terrible. They get absolutely nothing for the cookies. Like it would be great. Yeah. If like there was donations and all that, where it's like one of those like, oh yeah, no, you know, if you blow like $50 on cookies at your, you know, and again, it's not the kids selling the cookies anymore. It's mom and dad bringing a sign up sheet to the office. I mean, that's the last like dozen boxes of Girl Scout cookies. And we like buy like two or three boxes a year. The few years that we bought them, it's probably been years since we've got them. I mean, I stand against it now, but yeah, it's like a nickel a box. So you blow like $50 worth of that. That's like, congratulations. There's like, that's like $8 to the scouts. Congratulations.
It's actually significantly more than that.
Is it?
It's not yet. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's tiny. It's like 20%, but
is it that much?
Yeah.
I'm going to call bullshit on that.
And it gets split between.
Let's look it up.
It gets split between the council and the actual girl. doing the sales, but they do actually get more than pennies. It's not a lot.
Well, okay, all that aside, we're not talking about the Girl Scouts.
I must say that I was pleased to hear this, because if my daughter says I want to join the Girl Scouts, which frankly at this stage and how the Girl Scouts is going, I don't think it's going to happen. But if my daughter did want to join the Girl Scouts, my answer would be no. Nope, you're getting no support from me whatsoever for that, because it is just everything I've heard about the Girl Scouts is it's a terrible fucking organization, and I want no part of it whatsoever, and I don't want any of my family part of it whatsoever. The Boy Scouts I haven't heard so much on. You know, I wasn't involved in the Boy Scouts, but overall, my opinion of the Boy Scouts is fairly positive. If my daughter wanted to join an all-girl den of Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
You know, I have a question, and this is related to the cookie thing. So the Girl Scouts sell these cookies in order to keep the Girl Scout Association running or something, right? Support for the Girl Scouts. I don't even know. Anyway, how do the Boy Scouts make their money?
Popcorn.
Popcorn.
Well, I'm not kidding. Popcorn. Okay. I'm actually not kidding.
Yeah, they... There's several.
Popcorn is cheap to make, and how much do you sell it for? It's
ridiculous.
Popcorn used to be cheap to make.
A bag of like chocolate covered popcorn is $25.
Holy fuck!
Yeah, exactly.
What?
Yeah, that's I never got tied into the popcorn thing. Actually, I had the advantage that the scout troop I was in when I was a kid, we started off doing the stupid, trying to sell the stupid shit that everybody tried to sell to raise money. And it was ridiculous. I mean, you pay dues as a Boy Scout, you pay dues, and they, you know, some of it goes to the scout troop and some of it goes to the organization and all that kind of stuff. But we wound up having a couple of like really, really good salesmen that were adult leaders. And I'm talking about guys that were like millionaire sales guys. These were like, you know, if they sold used cars, they'd sell the shit out of used cars, but they didn't. So anyway, they did some research, and we wound up selling fertilizer.
Okay.
Local Boy Scouts here sell mulch.
Yeah. Because what the pitch was that, you know, look, you got to, you know, we go up and down the street and we tell people, look, you know, you need fertilizer for your yard. You're going to buy fertilizer. Why don't you just buy it from us? We'll deliver it in the spring. You don't have to go do anything. We'll drop it off at your door, and you're going to pay about what you'd pay at the store anyway. And we'd have, you know, when spring rolled around, we'd have like a couple of flatbed semi truck loads of fertilizer pull in, and we'd go around and deliver that shit. So it was a money making operation. But all that aside,
21% weird. I found it.
Huh. I was close. but that 21% is not, that doesn't all go to the girl. That's split, right?
Right.
Some of it goes to the troops. Some of it goes to the national.
No. 21% goes to the troop. That's the individual, not the Girl Scout organization. So, I mean, there's still 79% that's going to wherever. It's not great, but it's not pennies. That's all. Yeah.
Okay, I was misinformed. It was probably hyperbole on the sailor.
It seems like it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, it should be way more than that.
Either way, I have heard from a lot of people directly involved in the Girl Scouts who busted some serious ass moving some cookies and was like one of those like, and for this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, 90%. Let's get back on track, please. The whole reason. Okay. So the reason the Boy Scouts decided to accept girls is purely about money. They lost, a lot of people may not know this, but the Mormons used to be huge in scouts. If you were a male child in a Mormon family, you are almost by default going to be in a scout troop. And that's just the way it was. And a lot of almost every Mormon church out there sponsored a scout troop. They were real heavy into it. And for a couple of decades, as the National Scout organization sort of knuckled under to the demands of the social justice warriors and the leftists and whatnot, there was talk for years and years and years about the Mormons pulling out of scouting. And I think a lot of people think that the Boy Scouts accepting gay scouts and gay scout leaders was the final straw for the Mormons pulling out. And they actually went off and started their own quasi scouting organization for youth. And they lost, the Boy Scouts lost, I think it was like 180, almost 200,000 members, from the Great Mormon Pullout.
Seriously, are we not doing phrasing anymore?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I watched that movie.
So anyway, it's a money grab. And in fact, the way you know it's a money grab is because the president of the Girl Scouts of America earlier this year sent a letter to the president of the Boy Scouts of America because they had heard rumblings that the Boy Scouts were going to start accepting girls, basically saying, you better not, because we're going to lose all this money. So, you know,
but I thought it was all about empowering girls.
Yeah, the Girl Scouts is not about empowering girls. And then
Boy Scouts can't possibly know how to empower girls. That's what I was told last night by a Girl Scout leader, because I asked her about the whole thing at work. And I said, well, how do you feel? And she's like, why would any girl want to join the Boy Scouts? Because, you know,
they do cool stuff and have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And she really was insistent that the Girl Scouts do everything the same as Boy Scouts do now. Like, they go camping and they learn stuff and they do stuff outside and there's activities and blah, 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 blah. And there's no way a Boy Scout troop would know how to empower girls. Okay, Hillary.
So we've hogged the conversation, Jay. Do you want to say something?
The biggest thing for me, having been there, mm-hmm. I was a cub master for our pack for 5 years. My wife is a Girl Scout leader. And when I see people saying, you know, the Boy Scouts get to do all this cool stuff, the problem I have is there is literally nothing stopping the Girl Scouts from doing exactly the same thing.
Exactly.
If your point in wanting your daughter to join the Boy Scouts is so they can go camping and learn survival skills and whatnot, I'm sorry, you're full of shit. Because there's no reason they can't do that in the Girl Scouts. Literally no reason. If you don't like how the troop is run, you can start your own troop. You can work on taking over the troop. You can get involved. That's the biggest problem we ran into. Everybody wants to bitch about how the events are run. Nobody wants to step up and sign. You don't sign your name, but you know, nobody wants to step up and fill in as a leader.
Right.
And that's the big problem I have. You don't need girls to join. I don't care. I really don't care. My problem is that they get to do this. Did you sign up as a leader? No. Okay, then shut up.
Exactly.
Because you didn't do a damn thing about it. You went to the meeting and they didn't do what your daughter wanted to do. All right, there's steps you could take. You don't just say, okay, let's go join the Boy Scouts. Because when you join the Boy Scouts or the Cub Scouts, if that particular pack or troop doesn't do exactly what you want to do, guess what? You're right back where you started with the Girl Scouts. You've got to step up and make it happen. That was a big problem we ran into. Was parents just don't, they want to drop their kids off. BSA, Babysitting of America.
Yeah, the Boy Scouts have the same problem. I think one of the big differences is incentives, because but the vast majority of boys in scout troops want to go off and do camping and all the, you know, the Boy Scouty things that we all did. I'm not sure that all the girls in Girl Scouts want to do that. And there's a lot of selection bias too, because a lot of the girls that would want to do that maybe join Girl Scouts and go, "Ooh, this sucks," and they quit.
Mm-hmm. That was me.
So maybe, you know, I mean, Jay has a great point. You know, it's you make it what it is. And if it sucks, it's because you made it suck.
You get out what you put in.
Right.
And that's the whole thing. If you just want to show up, drop your kid off, and magically hope they do what your kid wants to do, nobody's going to have a good time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Your child isn't going to enjoy it. The leaders are going to have to work with a child that has different expectations of what actually is going on. And the parent's going to hear about, "Oh, it sucks. I don't want to do it."
Right.
And, you know, wait a minute. I just dumped all this money into uniforms and badges and blah, 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 blah. What do you mean you don't want to do it? And if you don't get involved, whether it's Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, ventures, whatever, sports.
Right.
It,
chess club.
It's not going to be it's not going to be the best experience. And just this whole girls should be allowed to join the Boy Scouts to do fun stuff. Well, they can do that same fun stuff in Girl Scouts. And so,
what if you're a troop just like with one girl, because you're the only girl who wants to do the cool stuff?
Well, here's the neat thing. I mean, maybe we were unique, but the pack, the Cub Scout pack, Boy Scout troop, had family day. They had family weekends where scouts' families could go along.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't just show up and go camping, but if it's a girl watching her brother camping and she wants to do it, there are opportunities to do that in a scout environment.
Okay.
And if there is just one, there is a process in Girl Scouts called Julietting, where they're kind of self-taught. It's like homeschooling for Girl Scouts. And there's plenty of opportunities you can have to, you know, pair up with scout troops, Boy Scout troops, and just do your own thing. Or my daughter's been to Girl Scout camp. They do camp. Some of them are in cabins. Some of them are in tents. And you can choose. There's within 2 hours from where we live in Virginia, there's probably three or four different Girl Scout camps. And so they do have those opportunities. And they do more crafty things than the Boy Scouts.
Sure.
That's because the majority of the scouts want to do the crafty things.
Mm-hmm.
But my daughter wants to go canoeing on the river. And she went canoeing on the river. They get a chance to do all that stuff, too. It does exist. You have to look for it and you have to make it happen if it's not happening in your particular troop.
Well, here's my prediction. The Boy Scouts as an organization, the way we know it now, will cease to exist.
They'll transmogrify into just scouts or whatever.
It'll be a touchy-feely social justice thing that they'll turn into the Girl Scouts for boys and girls, and nobody's going to be interested in it. And
basically boys will feel about the scouts the way they feel about school.
Right. Exactly. Because
they don't want to read anything. They hate school, right. Blah, blah, blah.
For the same reason. And then that's why I'm a little, I'm more than a little upset about this, because it's not because I don't think girls can do it, and it's not because I don't think girls should be allowed to do it in some way, but we have a huge problem in this country of not letting boys be boys.
I agree.
And if you don't let boys be boys, see the great thing about Boy Scouts, and a lot of people don't understand this, it was started by Lord Baden-Powell. And it is the whole purpose of Boy Scouts is to teach boys how to be men. You have adult leaders who are examples. you have older boys who work with younger boys, and you learn how to be a man by when you're young, you learn skills. When you're older, you teach those skills, and by teaching it, it gets reinforced. You learn how to behave properly. You learn how to sit still and pay attention. You learn how to be self-actuating. You learn how to, you learn how to be a functional adult, which is almost missing everywhere else in the country. And that's going to go away now. It's inevitable.
Yep.
Well, that's also one of those key things on whenever one tries to be like all inclusive and make everyone happy and not, you know, pissing anybody's Cheerios, is you end up pissing everybody off.
Right. You wind up with a big massive suck and fail. It's that who I forget who it was that said it. It's like the left guts a respected institution and then wears it like a skin suit demanding respect. That's what's going to happen with the Boy Scouts.
Well, I mean, you just said right there is the, all the anti-religious people were like, oh, we got to get rid of all this respect for religion because religion's horrible and we got to get rid of it and we got to kill it all. You know, and now, meanwhile, these are the exact same people that are like, oh, we got to be nice to all the Muslims. Wait, what? And then, because again, it makes perfect sense when you realize that they're anarchists, when they're just there to burn it all down. And so they suddenly start going, yeah, you know what? Fuck religion. And then suddenly the Mormons go, wait, we think religion's pretty important. You want to say fuck religion? Okay, fuck you.
Right.
Oh, now we're broke.
Yeah.
Now we're going to bring girls in there. Okay, well, is it Boy Scouts? Is it Girl Scouts? Is it Scouts? Do we do it for boys? Do we do it for girls? What do we do? And then it gets all confused and starts going every which way than others. And everyone starts you know what? This sucks.
I understand that there's like, this sense of tradition with the Boy Scouts, like a sense of tradition. However, is there an alternate Boy Scouts? Because can there be more than one sort of organization that does this? I mean, would it mean something less to be?
Yes, it's called being any gender and growing up in Maine.
Okay, no, I mean that's a valid point. You know, growing up in Alaska, I'm sure you get the same skill set. You know, but would it mean any less to have a similar, you know, like Eagle Scout award from another organization? Would it mean something less, even though it's the same sort of skill set and process that you have to go through to become an Eagle Scout or a, you know, Wolf Scout or a whatever Scout? You know, would it mean something different?
Well, there are competing organizations that do something similar. I think the YMCA's had one for a long time. The Mormons have one now because they went off and started their own.
Okay.
They're sort of like not the same.
Scouting
has a lot of infrastructure as well.
Right.
Uh-huh. And that's kind of hard to go up against, especially if you're starting from scratch.
Right.
Okay.
Also, and Alan, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't Eagle Scout translate into extra rank? I'd heard that somewhere. I'm not sure if it's true.
It can. Yeah.
So there is that.
If you join the military, yeah.
Right. It bumps you to, instead of an E1, you're an E2.
Right.
Again, don't know. Didn't make Eagle Scout. Didn't go to the military, so.
I have. It depends. I'll just put it that way. It depends. In the Marine Corps, I tell you, it did not. But it did, you know. I don't know. You know, I'm an Eagle Scout. Eagles, one of those things that, you know, when you're a dumbass kid working on it, it's like it's a huge undertaking. It's not easy to get. One of the reasons it's not easy is because you have to persist. It's an accomplishment because it takes a long time. It takes years to do it, and it's not that it's all that difficult, because if you punch your ticket, if you do the stuff, it's not that hard to get. It just requires you to do it. And that's, a lot of people don't, especially once they get a lot of boys, once they get in high school, they drop out of scouts because, they're doing other things. They're playing football or whatever, and that's that 15, 16 year thing is when the Boy Scouts lose a lot of kids is because they go off and, they discover girls. They have other things. Cars. They get their driver's license. They go off and do other things. So,
somebody on Facebook made a point where, I thought this was interesting, that nobody actually knows what the
drink.
Sorry.
Supper time.
It's Ronan.
Hi, Ronan.
Actually knows what the highest rank in Girl Scouts is. And I had to look it up. I didn't know either.
Ambassador.
And honestly, I've never known a female person that has ever gone past just Girl Scouts. Ambassador's
cadet.
Yeah. I've never known anybody who's ever done that. And I wonder, I think girls just drop out because they get sick of each other.
That could be too.
They're like, I hate everybody in my Girl Scout troop. I'm dropping out. I don't know. It's I have literally never known anyone. I know mothers of, they're Girl Scout troop leaders. I know, but they are not themselves, highest ranked Girl Scouts. I've never known another human female to do that. I don't know. It's interesting. And I think it might be because, we all get sick of each other and we hate each other and we're bored with doing crafts.
You've done all the crafts.
We have done all the crafts. Yes.
Well, also,
and we're sick of selling cookies.
if you just want to do crafts, you don't need to be in a club to do that.
No.
You can go to Hobby Lobby and get stuff and,
No, you can't, because they're horrible, discriminatory, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I got to dive in on that. I've been hearing so many leftists saying that,
Hobby
Trump's
Lobby.
Doing a new thing that's going to limit women's access to birth control. No, he's not.
Oh, God.
No.
No, he's not. Week. He's next limiting week. The access of women having other people pay for their fucking
next
birth
week.
Control.
Next week. Save it for next week.
All I got to say is, when I was a college student and I was dirt-ass motherfucking poor, I always had at least a couple of bucks for booze, condoms, and cigarettes. You don't spend your last money on that. You know what? If you need to sleep in your car for a month because you can't pay your rent, if you can't afford your beer and your condom and your cigarettes, and guess what? Back in the 90s, it didn't cost a whole lot for beer, condom, and cigarettes. Now it's like $45 for a pack of nails.
Yeah.
Either way, condoms are dirt cheap.
Legitimately, Trump is inserting the government into women's uteruses.
I saw one of those stupid signs that said that uteruses have more heavily regulated.
Oh, God.
Than guns.
That's a throat punch. I'm sorry.
I did not have to get a license to carry my uterus around. Let's just say that.
You can take it in the library.
That sign literally says, if you hold up the Google Translate thing, the sign will magically turn into the text will read, "I bet I'm dumber than you are."
Speaking of dumb, and to close out the show, because I think this wraps it all up, but I just found a headline on BuzzFeed.
Oh, no.
BuzzFeed, Joe Biden condemns Harvey Weinstein as disgusting and immoral.
Oh, my fucking God.
Good night, right, everybody. Brina,
we started the show with you making me making you laugh. You just you payback's a bitch. You got me on that one. Oh my fucking oh,
crazy
gosh.
Uncle Joe.
Uncle Creepy. Joe yeah. Biden himself.
Well, at least they didn't ask Clinton to do it.
Oh my God.
Harvey Weinstein is the creepy bastard who's jerking off to make women feel gross. Joe Biden is the guy in the group home for adults jerking off because he doesn't know any better.
Oh God.
And on that note, we'll be back next week.
same squirrel time, same squirrel.
Oh
time.
God. Try good to show, sleep guys. Tonight, internet. Harvey Weinstein's after you.
Harvey Weinstein's in your closet.
Yeah, check under your bed for Harvey Weinstein's.
Yeah, forget the clown from It. Check for Harvey Weinstein.
Goodbye.
Good night.
Good night.